Take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I can promise you this, I won't be very long tonight, but I will not be my usual self. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit. I have very little voice left, but I'm going to give you all I got anyway. But I want to give you something tonight that I think will be helpful, especially to some of our newer people. Some of the folks that hadn't been saved very long, maybe some of the ladies that are at the Victory Valley Rescue Ranch. And I'm telling you, when you first get saved, it's one of the most confusing times in your life as a Christian.
Amen.
I remember when I first got saved. How many of you remember the first time that you sinned, that which you would categorize as sin after you got saved? How many of you remember that? I do. I'll never forget it. I cussed. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I cussed after I got saved. And I thought something was wrong. And it was. But I thought that I could not be saved and say what I had just said, because I had heard our text verse so many times in my life. And I'm going to read it to you tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're there, say amen. Look with me at verse number 17. Excuse me. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what?
A new creature.
A new creature where? What did we just say?
In Christ.
In Christ, I am a new creature. When I get saved. You got to understand what the verse is saying. That verse has been taken out of context so many times. In other words, I heard preached all my life, when you get saved, buddy, you're right. I don't mean just all your sins are gone, but I mean all your habits are gone and all your bitterness and all your anger and all. I mean, brother, automatically you just become the super saint. If that's true, I'm not saved. And if that's true, you're not either.
Amen.
And if that's true, that cat preaching that, he ain't either. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. How many of you have a problem with that verse of Scripture? How many of you struggle with it as a Christian? If you have doubts about yourself, sometime in your own time, read Romans chapter number 7. Start down there around verse number 10 or 13, somewhere down in there. And Paul starts his whole dissertation about, when I want to do good, evil's present with me. I try to do right and I mess up. Y'all know that scripture that I'm talking about. Paul was dealing with the same thing that every one of us deal with on a daily basis. Now stay with me just for a few minutes. I'm going somewhere. If you've been saved a while, this will be elementary to you, but maybe you need to be reminded again. Because sometimes we've been saved for a while and we get victory over some things in our flesh. You'll never have total victory over it till we're delivered from it. But if we're not careful, we'll get some victory over some things which took us years to do. And because somebody who just got saved don't automatically have victory over everything, we'll be a little hard on them.
Amen.
But we forget how we struggled when we first got saved.
Yes, sir.
You know what babies have to do? They have to learn how to walk.
Amen.
And before they walk, they fall and bust their little rear end over and over and over and over again. Does that make sense? But if we'll be patient with them and love them and teach them, they'll get through that period in their life and get where they can walk pretty good. Amen? I'm telling you, every time Ashley or Levi or Katie, every time one of them stumbled and fell when they started walking, I didn't fuss at them. I didn't say, bless God, if you was right with God, you wouldn't fall like that. Amen? But that's the way we tend to do baby Christians sometimes. And some of y'all are just in this place to where you're looking around you and you're seeing everything everybody's doing and you're going, man, I got a long way to go. Hey, it's all right. You got to start somewhere.
Amen.
You got to start. I want to encourage you tonight. Several weeks ago, we had a new roof put on our house. It used to be green. We had it back in the day when we built our house. It was in style to have a green roof. green roofs kind of went out of style. Then a while back, we realized we was going to put a brown roof on our house, and I took our green shutters down, and I went ahead. We had a brown roof and green shutters. I mean, we had a green roof and brown shutters for a while. We knew we was getting a brown roof. And we got that new roof put on our house, and I backed out in the road today. The workers got done, and I looked out there. Brother Allen, I told my wife, I said, it don't even look like the same house. It looks like a brand new house, man. I'm telling you, on the outside, that thing, brother, looks like, hallelujah, man, we got a new house. But then you walk inside, and it doesn't take long to realize that that pretty roof wasn't always up there. The damage done from the bad roof is still there. What I'm trying to say is a lot of times that's what we do as Christians. We focus on what everybody can see. And when I was young, growing up in church, that was the focus of everything. Are y'all all right? Everything was about the rules. Let me say it again. Everything was about the rules. What you can do, or not what you can do, is mostly what you cannot do. Man, I remember preachers actually preaching and saying, if you'll shave the hair off your face, you might can get saved. Y'all don't laugh. That's true. They said that. They said that when I was growing up. I remember a preacher looking a man in the front face, in the front row, looking at him and said, if you shave that hair off your lip, God might save you. You know what that is? Now, y'all stay with me for a minute. I'm going somewhere. I'm just going to talk to you a minute tonight. That is a work salvation. Are you okay? We're not saved by works. The Bible said, lest any man should boast. Is that right? I'm not saved because I have a mustache or don't have a mustache. By the way, Jesus had a beard. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, had a beard. Amen. By the way, he had a Duck Dynasty beard. And smoked a pipe. Yeah. I'm not saying that's right. Saved nonetheless. Touched and used of God nonetheless. God doesn't save you because of what you start or stop doing. God saves you because you accept His Son and the sacrifice He made for us at Calvary, period.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But when I was growing up, Brother Freddie, it had to do with what color shirt you wore. In the 70s, growing up in this area, in an independent Baptist church, I would not have been allowed to preach in this shirt. And you would not have been allowed to preach in those glasses. Anybody remember that? I'm not being ridiculous tonight. I'm telling you how it was. Wire rim glasses. They equated that with hippies and John Lennon. I remember that. They put everything on the outward appearance. Jesus said in Matthew, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He didn't stop there. He said, hypocrites. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Who's he talking to? That crowd I grew up around. He said, for you clean the inside of the, or the outside of the cup and the platter, but the inside is still filthy. And that's what everybody says. You've got to walk right, you've got to dress right, you've got to do right. Hey, and I think you should. But I want you to understand, it's like a microwave oven. It cooks from the inside out. I could care less if you're wearing a tie to church and carrying a King James Bible that weighs 50 pounds if you're sitting on a bar stool on Friday night.
Amen.
I could care less. I could care less if you're singing in the choir and got a high tenor voice like nobody's business, but you're shopping pornography on your computer. What good am I if I get you to dress right and act right and look like a Christian if inside you're wicked as all get out? I'm telling you, this kind of preaching or teaching would not be popular in a lot of places right now because they're legalist. You're going to heaven if you do this and if you do that and if you do that. That's not the case. You're going to heaven if you're saved. Amen. I know some people in the bar probably right now who are more right with God than a lot of people sitting on a church pew. Y'all don't die on me. I know divorced people who have a closer walk with God than people who's been married 50 years. But yet in many places, they're a second-class citizen. They're below everybody else. It's a work salvation, and we are not saved by work. Hey, if we're saved, we ought to work. And we ought to want to serve God. But we're not going to heaven because of what we do. We're going to heaven because of what He's done. I want to show you some things tonight that I believe with all my heart will help you. Go to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Is that still in the Bible? There it is. I'm going to do my best to get through this tonight. My throat feels like hamburger meat, but I feel like somebody needs it. I'm not preaching hard at you tonight. I'm trying to encourage you. You say, preacher, I'm having a hard time living up to what a Christian's supposed to be. Hey, join the crowd. Are y'all all right? I can't live up to what some of them cats are preaching. And I got a good idea. They probably don't either. Let me tell you this, give you this illustration. I won't name a name because we're on the internet, ain't we? Yeah, I'll behave. There's a preacher. If I said his name, everybody in this room would know who it was. I'm talking about Gun Barrel Street. Hard preacher, standards up one side and down the other. If you got a TV in your house, you're wicked as all Hades. Me and my wife was in Gatlinburg a few years ago, and we was in them factory outlets. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Factory outlet store. And we're in I love the Bose factory outlet. Bose. Y'all know what Bose sound systems? Amen. I can't afford one, but I love to go look at them. You cut them TVs on, it sounds like a movie theater. You can hear them dinosaurs. I mean, boy, it's like they're coming after you, man. It's 3D sound. It's cool. But we're in this Bose store, and they got these soundproof rooms where you can go in and listen to these surround sound systems. And we're in this soundproof room, and we're listening to this system. And in the other room, it's all about music. In that other room, you can hear the walls going boom, boom, my wife said, "Who is that?" I looked over there, and there's that preacher and his wife. And they both got on a set of headphones, brother, and they are rocking out. This was back before I didn't have a camera on my phone back then. And I wouldn't have done it anyway. But I mean, they were rocking out. My wife said, "Don't you know him?" I said, "Yeah, I know him." She said, "You ought to walk in there and say, hey, how y'all doing?" And God's gave me some grace over the years. I slipped out. They don't even know I saw them. But to hear that guy preach, are we okay tonight?
Amen.
I don't feel good, so I'm not responsible for what I say. Brother Charles will take full responsibility. What I'm trying to tell you is a lot of time you get to listen to people tell you how you ought to live and make you feel like a low-life dog because you cannot live up to their expectation.
Amen.
And truth be known, they're not meeting it either.
Amen.
I'm not giving you an excuse to sin. I'm not. But I'm just saying when you're young in Christ, you're young in Christ, and you're going to make mistakes, that does not make you unsaved.
Amen.
You've got to grow in the Lord, and you've got to give yourself a break.
Amen.
Hardest person you'll ever forgive in your life is your own self.
Amen.
You got to realize when you messed up, man, I've made a mistake. Now, here's our problem, and I'm going to deal with it right now. We're going home. We spend too much time focusing on this. Would I be guessing fairly if I said the average, not every woman now, don't somebody spout off and say, "I get ready in 5 minutes." I don't want to hear that junk. I said the average woman takes her hour to get ready.
Amen.
Right or wrong? Somebody said two. I was going to preach in South Florida last week, and I told the preacher my wife might be coming with me, but she couldn't get nobody to work in her place. He said, "Well, you're going to be staying with Brother so-and-so at his house." I said, "Well, that's fine." He said, "But there's another preacher staying there too." I said, "No." I said, "We'll get a room and pay for it." He said, why wouldn't you want to stay there with him? I said, my wife's not sharing a bathroom with another man. He said, well, that wouldn't bother him. I said, you don't understand. It would bother him because the man's going to go for a week without a bath. Unless he gets one about 3 hours before church time. Because my wife's going to be in there. Fair assumption? Now, I'll be honest with you. Now, I'm not a woman, but I pay attention to how I look before I leave. I won't leave the house if my shoes are scuffed. I'm OCD about it. If you ever come from Brother Freddie's class on Sunday morning and you're coming this way, you usually find me standing in front of that mirror. I'm not making sure I'm pretty. I'm making sure this ain't messed up. I don't know. That's my problem. That was one of my issues. But if that tie ain't tied right, I'll cut it off. I'll cut it up with a pocket knife and throw it in the trash if I can't get it tied right. Amen? We take a lot of precaution. We take a lot of time in making sure this outside is presentable. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What if we spend as much time on the inside? Amen. We've got our focus in the wrong place. We've got our focus in looking right, walking right, learning the lingo. Amen, brother. Well, glory to God. Well, bless your heart. You know what I'm saying? You just get around people. We got our own language. You get around people who've been in church for a while, we got our own language. Amen. Baby Christians, a lot of times, they don't talk like we do. Amen. They may say something a little off color. And you go, well, bless God. Well, you just took his name in vain. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, are y'all all right? Yeah. I think we spend too much time working on this outside, what you can see. But what we don't realize, it works from the inside out. Galatians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 19. The Bible said, now the works of the what? Flesh are manifest, which are these. What are the works of the flesh? Adultery? That's pretty bad, right? Fornication. Somebody said, why does it mention adultery and fornication? Aren't they the same thing? No. No, no, no. They're not the same thing. Fornication is any sexual act outside of the marriage bed. Is it okay to go there tonight? Okay, you let a lot of these preachers preaching against people that's been divorced and all that stuff, and they'll pull that word out. They don't even know what they're talking about. You need to tell them to get off your back and go bark up somebody else's tree. Amen? Fornication is any sexual act outside of marriage. You can commit fornication by yourself. I'll just leave that there. Go home, throw your TV in the yard if you can't handle that. Amen? I'm just trying to be a help to you tonight. Adultery, fornication. I told you I'm not responsible tonight. Uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Wow, isn't that wild? He throws witchcraft right in there with adultery. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, wait a minute, stop right here. Why would he include witchcraft with all these other things? You say, well, that's demonic. So is adultery.
Amen.
Yes, sir,
brother.
Amen.
So is fornication.
Yes, sir.
So is drunkenness.
Yes.
Every one of those things are demonic. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord will not impress upon your heart to cheat on your wife.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Witchcraft fits right with every one of those things. Now listen, every one of those things comes natural to the flesh. Are you okay? Even after you're saved, you're capable of every one of those things. Sister Kim K, she's in heaven now. Even after she got saved, she still had idols and all that stuff at her house. God finally dealt with her about it, and she went and buried them in the yard. You know what that was? It was witchcraft. Boy, it got quiet. Somebody must have a Ouija board at the house. Man, that stuff's wicked, man.
Amen.
Amen. I had a boy up here the other night. I forgot what was here for. I don't remember. We had food for something. What did we have food for? We was eating for something. Funeral service. One of our young men walked up to me. He said, I always thought you was crazy. Talking about that backward masking on the rock and roll music. I don't know who. Anybody remember who that was? That was Chad, wasn't it? Chad said, we done it. And it freaked me out. He started telling me about, they played a certain song backwards and tell me what it said. It's for real, man. All that stuff's demonic. Anyway, let me move on. I'm just trying to tell you why he would lump all that together. It's all of the devil. Lying, bitterness, anger, wrath, all that stuff's of the flesh, of the natural man. You understand? Your flesh ain't saved. Say amen right there. Your flesh is not going to heaven. That's why we're getting a new body. Amen. He said in verse 21, Indians, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now watch, these contrast one another perfectly. I'm glad for every fruit of the flesh, God has got an equal but better fruit of the Spirit. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
That sounds better than adultery, don't it? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now I want you to understand something. Everything we have just read, the fruits of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, are every one outward expressions or outward manifestations of an inward condition. Does that make sense? Every one of these fruits, both the good ones and the bad ones, are an outward manifestation of an inward condition. If what you are producing is fornication, adultery, all that stuff, under those works of the flesh, something's wrong on the inside. We want to put a new roof on and say everything looks good. We want to put the suit on and the tie on and the King James Bible and learn the lingo and say, yes, sir, boy, I am a Christian. But what about inside? What are we to do? This is going to be real short tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. What you've got to do, if you say, well, I don't have those fruits of the Spirit, and I believe that I'm saved, but I tend more to be mad and angry and jealous and bitter, and I tend to lean more toward that. That means your flesh is still in control. So many of God's people operate in the flesh. Let me tell you why the legalists are legalists. So they can judge everybody else to make them feel better about themselves. That's the truth. They point their finger and look down their pharisaical noses at everybody else. I'm better than you because I've only been married one time. That's a crock. Y'all okay? Listen, God's original intent is one man, one woman, right? I'm not for divorce, but it happens every day. You can't tell me if something happens and your husband cheats on you and runs off with another woman that you are just banned from Christianity. Y'all don't die on me. I'm telling you God's honest truth. Do not think you're better than somebody because your marriage has lasted. You better thank God for the grace that He's afforded you that your marriage has lasted. You better thank God that you got through the rocky times in your marriage without going your separate ways. Man, it's a thousand wonders in the grace of God. Angie White hadn't killed me. I remember her having to go get my mother in the middle of the night to come help her find me, only to find me passed out on a friend's couch. The friend's also a member of this church. I'll stop there. We wasn't always saved, amen? I'm just telling you, buddy. You look at the pastor and say, oh, I bet his marriage has always been. I wish so. It's wonderful now, but buddy, we had our days. Are y'all okay? I'm talking about after we were saved, we had our days. If you're married and you've been married to the same woman or the same man for any certain number of years, don't think that makes you a better Christian than somebody else. I don't even know why this is not, I don't even have no notes tonight, but it wasn't even in my thoughts. I wasn't even going there. But maybe somebody needs to realize tonight I'm not a lesser Christian because my husband left. Or I'm not a lesser Christian because my wife left. I'm barred forever doing anything for God because I've been divorced. Stupidity, that's what that is. I love some of them people that preach and teach that, but bless their hearts, they're ignorant. Don't tell me God can't use my mama. You out of your stinking mind. Did you know there's preachers in this area that won't marry some of their own church members, but they'll refer them to me? I got one preacher that won't speak to me to this day. He called me up and he said, "Brother, I got a young couple in my church." He said, "They want to get married, but I can't do it." I knew what was coming. I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, the husband's been married before." He said, "But I told him you'd probably be glad to marry him." I said, "They gonna join my church?" "Oh, no. They're gonna come here." I said, "You'll take their tithe, but you won't marry them." You want their money? Are y'all all right? Something's wrong with that stuff. Here we are, saved on our way to heaven. Your soul is saved. Watch this. Your soul is a new creation. You understand that? Your soul, when you got saved, it's sinless. It's under the blood, friend. But you're stuck with this mess till Jesus comes. And you're going to have to deal with it every single day. And listen to me. Let me give you some encouragement. Day by day, by day by day, if you'll work on it, you'll get victory over it. Oh, I'm still fighting him every single day. Brother Todd sings "The Old Man's Dead," and I love that song. And partially, that's true. But mine rises up from time to time. Can I get a witness? I want to produce the fruits of the Spirit, and I see more of that now in my life than I ever have before. But I've been saved 32 years. It takes time. You're not super saint overnight. And by the way, you're never really a super saint. Amen. Brother Charles is the greatest Christian I know. But I guarantee you, if Sister Janice would blab, we could find out some dirt, because there's dirt. She's just so graceful, she'd never tell it. Other than the funny stuff we like to make fun of. She'll tell that, amen. That ain't really sin. It's just Brother Charles, amen. And we love to laugh at and poke fun, and he's choking over here. I'm the one with the cold, buddy. I'm getting an eyeball, Brother Freddy. I got to move on. I'm afraid lightning might strike in that spot right there, amen. Listen, I want to give you the answer tonight. And it's very simple. And I wish it would be real deep and real theological and you just sit there and go, "Wow." But it's not that way. Because simply if it were, you wouldn't get it. And neither would I. But here's what we got to do. Quit worrying about the outside so much. Listen, you can pray. I mean, you can fight and work on an addiction till you die. But till something changes in here, you're never going to beat that. That's why the world says, now watch this, we differ from the world's theology. They said once an alcoholic, always. Is that right, Brother Jason? Is that what they teach? Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I believe God can deliver. Now the world, now listen, for a lost person, once a drunk, always a drunk. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Why? Because he has no power over it. He may quit it. He may get a support group, and I'm not against. That's a good thing. That's a good thing for a lost man, because that's all he got. Yeah. Right. But all he's got to do is get around it one good time. Yeah. And he's eyeball deep. Yeah. Are y'all okay? Somebody said, you hear so-and-so fell off the wagon. I don't know what that means, but I do know what it means. Back in Prohibition, they had trucks that came with wastewater in it and washed down the street, but it was wastewater. And people who were trying to get off the alcohol said, I'd rather, and it was a wagon pulled by horses, they said, I'd rather drink the water that's coming out of that thing than what's coming out of that bottle. So when you fell off the wagon, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, but they say so-and-so fell off the wagon. Listen to me. A lost man has no power over his flesh and over his sin. But a Christian does. That's why I don't believe, Brother Jason, that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once a meth amphetamines addict, always a meth. I don't believe that. I believe we can get total 100% victory over sin in our life. But it's not an outward thing. Can we go to Philippians chapter number 3? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is where? In me. I can do all things through what? Christ. Where is he? In me. It cannot be an outward thing. It's got to be an inward thing. What we've got to do is start praying for God to change our inside. Everybody's focusing and pointing at our outside. Well, here's your problem. Well, right there is your problem. Oh, I see your problem. No, your problem I can't see. But your outward sin that I can see is just an outward manifestation of an inward problem. Somebody said the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. If somebody, you watch somebody who struggles, and they struggle and they struggle and they struggle, and they've been saved for year after year after year, they still got a heart problem. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. We've got people in our church that struggle with the same junk for years. Problem is, you love the junk more than you love God. And I don't mean that to sound mean, but there ought to be a point in your life where you get to go, woo, we beat that thing, Lord. We got victory over that thing, but you got to want it first. Psalms chapter number 51, and I'm done. And I know it's not a whole lot tonight, but it's, sometimes it don't take a whole lot. Sometimes it don't take a whole lot. Jesus could say a whole lot in about 3 verses, couldn't he? Enough to change the world, man. Psalms chapter number 51. And I want you to look at one verse of Scripture tonight. I want you to notice what the psalmist said in Psalms 51 and verse number 10. Here's where we need to start. Look at me, new Christian, before we read it. Here's our start. We talked about a starting point this morning. Here's your starting point right here. Your starting point is not, okay, I'm going to stop smoking. That's not your starting point. Okay, I'm going to quit using. It's not your starting point. All right, boy, I want to be right with God, so I'm going to quit drinking. You noticed all the I'm gonna's in there? Y'all notice that? It's the wrong starting point. But that's where everybody would tell you. You got to get off them drugs. You got to get off that alcohol. You got to get off them cigarettes. You got to get off this. You got to get off that. You ain't going to do nothing. Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. Now watch this. I'm going to give you your starting point tonight, and I'm done. This is where you've got to get to in your heart, in your depth of your being. Watch verse number 10. The psalmist said, create in me a what?
Clean heart.
A clean heart. Who?
Oh God.
Oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. That's where it's got to start. Amen. Now, Is that a prayer of a saved man? I think so. I think that's a prayer of a man who knows God. I think that's a prayer of a man who knows right from wrong. David, a man after God's own heart, committed adultery. You'll stand there and tell me David ain't in heaven? God restored him, didn't he?
Amen.
He didn't stop at adultery. He went on to murder.
Yes.
Oh, he didn't kill Uriah, but he had him killed.
Yes,
lying, cover up. Sounds like government, don't it?
Amen.
And I'm not slamming David. I dare raise a slander against him. Oh, what a man of God, man.
Amen.
But he messed up, didn't he? But you know what he said? God creating me. He didn't say clean hands. And we ought to have clean hands.
Amen.
But you're never going to clean your hands. You clean your heart.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to have to ask God to do it in here first. Young people, you having a problem being respectful and obedient to your parents? It's a heart problem.
Amen.
You ever had your mom and dad look at you and go, hey, you got to do something with attitude. That attitude's a condition of your heart.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You can force yourself to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. That don't mean you mean it. It's like the little boy in the hospital, in the doctor's waiting room, bouncing off the walls. And his mama said, if you don't sit down in that chair and be still, I'm going to tear your backside up. And the little boy sat down in the chair and crossed his arms. He looked at his mama. He said, I may be sitting down, but in my heart, I'm jumping up and down. That's the attitude of a lot of Christians. I'm dressed right and I'm acting right, but in my heart, I'm partying. We got to ask God to change our heart. You can't fix it. I've got to change the way I... You can't. You can't. It's in Christ. Do you understand that? And we've just got to plead with God on a daily basis, Lord, clean my heart. Create in me a clean heart, a new heart. Saul asked for a new one. You want victory over the flesh? Let it start on the inside. Brother Charles taught in the visitation a few weeks ago, and he used that verse where Paul said, he which hath begun a good work, where? In you will perform it. Are you listening? He which begun a good work in you. It's inside. What Christ is doing, if he's working inside you, eventually, it'll work its way on the outside. People all the time preaching about money. You turn on the TV, that's all them preachers talk about. Money, 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 money. If you right with God, you'll do this and you'll do that. If you're right with God, we ain't got to preach on money. Amen. If you're right with God, man, if your heart's where it ought to be, hey, man, if we could just get people to say, Lord, fix my heart. Fix my heart. Because, boy, if God fixes your heart, you'll hate your sin. You'll hate, you're listening? You'll hate your sin. There's things I used to love that if I even get a whiff of now, make me want to vomit. Y'all okay? Some of y'all can know exactly what I'm talking about. What happened? Something happened in here. It sure didn't happen out here. Because that thing would still love it, I guarantee you. Amen. Somebody ought to get on the altar tonight and say, God, I've been working real hard, but with no success on what I'm supposed to be doing and how I'm supposed to be living and how I'm supposed to be acting, but I'm having such a hard time, and I realize tonight, before I can fix my outside, I've got to fix my inside. We got so many people trying to live right and do right who ain't even saved. You're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. You hear me? You're never going to make it. People in AA always have somebody they can call. Is that right? Is that right? What do you call it? A sponsor. They always got a sponsor. Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you don't need that sponsor. You've got Jesus. You've got Jesus. And if you'll ask him to fix your heart, I'm telling you to change your home. Change your marriage. Change your relationships. I know Christians who are bitter and nasty and ugly. I don't mean physically ugly. I'm talking about spiritually ugly. You don't even want to be around them. They're so vile, repulsive. And I ain't just talking about their language. I'm talking about how they treat other people. They got a heart problem. You say, there ain't no way they can act like that and be saved. I wonder about that sometimes too. But then I've been pretty nasty myself. Amen. And I know I'm saved. You say, boy, I'm having a hard time with this flesh. No, you're having a hard time with your heart. The Bible said, man looketh on the outward part, but God looketh on the heart. Maybe somebody would get in this altar tonight and say, God, would you change my heart? I don't want to feel the way I feel. I don't want to act the way I act. That's what Paul was saying in Romans chapter number 7. Take some time and read that. I'm talking about Paul. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. I'd say he's a pretty spiritual guy, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Did most of it from a prison with stripes on his back. I'd say he's a pretty godly man. But yet he battled with the same thing you're battling with. And I'm telling you, if we can get God to start on the inside, let the outside take care of itself. I'll tell you this, Brother John, come to the piano. I'm done. For years, Brother Dexter Steffi, he's in heaven. I hope he's listening right now. How many of you remember Brother Dexter, Brother Allen? Y'all raise your hand. Brother Dexter, oh, he is a sight. Oh, I mean, he is a sight, man. Me and Dexter had a relationship that no pastor and member ever probably ever had. Maybe J.M. had one or two of them. I don't know. But me and Dexter, we had a relationship. Dexter was a biker covered up with tattoos and had a ponytail down to his waist. Kept it braided in a rubber band on the end. Old Dexter got saved. I baptized him at High Shoals Creek. I wrote him down. He was dying with cirrhosis of the liver. When I led him to Christ, he was in the hospital. Wasn't supposed to live 3 or 4 days, and he got saved. He was a member of our church for 10 years after that. I rode him on the back of a four-wheeler, and Brother Chris rode him down to High Shoals Creek and baptized him in the cold creek under that waterfall.
Amen.
One of our deacons at that time, and he meant well, he come to me after Dexter got saved and baptized, and he said, now, what are you going to do about his hair? I said, ain't my hair. He said, you going to make him cut his hair? I said, nope. If I got to make him cut his hair, it don't mean nothing. If I got to make you quit drinking, it don't mean a thing. If I say you can't come to this church because you smoked dope, that don't mean nothing. Then you're quitting for me. Are we okay? He said, well, you're going to have to make him cut his hair. Tell him he can't come to church here. I said, are you kidding? You chewed a backer. He said, well, now, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I said, some might think it is. Just like you think his ponytail is. Some of y'all look like you're about to vomit. I said, no, I ain't making him cut his hair. I said, he ain't going to sing in the choir or teach a Sunday school class, but I ain't making him cut his hair. I never did. It's about 2 years went by. One Wednesday night, Dexter came into church. We only had one little aisle right down the middle. One Wednesday night, he come in church, paraded himself right down, didn't say a word. I was standing on the platform. He got right down the front like this. Brother Charles, you remember, he went. Went right back to his seat. Didn't say a word. You know what he wanted? He wanted Brother Eddie to say, Lord, convicted him. He cut his hair.
Amen.
There's another one right there. I never said nothing about his hair. That's our bus director right there. That's my friend right there. What are you saying, preacher? Starts in here. Starts in here. You get this in here right, you'll want it to be like him. But if you do it because I tell you, you got to do it, it don't mean a thing. It's vain. It's works. But boy, you ask God to change your heart. God created me a clean heart. Boy, once that heart starts getting clean, it starts working its way outward. And you just can't help it. Amen. I want you to grow in Christ. I want you to grow in grace and knowledge. I do. I don't want to force a bunch of rules on you. Say, bless God, you've got to do like I do or you ain't right with God. You better not follow me around too long. Amen. Or nobody else for that matter. What you need to do is ask God, Lord, start it inside me. Do a work in me, God, that you might do a work through me. Now listen, if you make a change, it probably ain't going to last. But if God makes it, whoo, then we got something. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Old Dexter stood up and testified not long after he cut his hair. I don't remember his exact words, but it was something like this. He said, some of y'all wonder why it took me so long to cut my hair. He said, I just kept it because I knew it aggravated so many people. I said, amen. You remember that, Alan? I said, amen, brother. You should have kept it a little longer. Amen. Amen. God dealing with your heart, why don't you come tonight? Ask God to begin a work in you that he might do a work through you. Get that inside part fixed first. Then let's worry about what's going on the outside. What are we going to sing, Brother Todd? 274 in the soul stirring book. Brother Todd, lead that thing, if you will. 274 in the soul stirring hymn. God dealing with your heart. Many's on this altar tonight. Why don't you come? Ask God. God, do something inside me. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. Remember, he's still working on me, but he's working in you.
Hear the blessed Savior calling me.